Is it work? Is it? Okay. So this is the work that was done in collaboration with Alexander Kamenshik and Alexei Starobinsky. So, of course, this is a challenging task to find the particle physics model that that can generate inflation compatible with the observable large scale structure. And it is natural to look for such models of the ground unification type, because at least initially, when the idea of inflation was suggested, it was generally considered that inflation scenario begins at the energy scale somewhere between the Planckian scale and God scale. The models, the simplest model that generates inflation with the aid of the inflaton field with the simplest quartic potential is now ruled out by WMAP data. In a sense, a very good review of the models like this and their drawbacks and merits were actually, this review was given in the bunch of yesterday's talk, suggesting advanced mechanism of inflationary scenarios induced by string theory models. But it is quite interesting that neither of these talks actually considered the case of the non-minimally coupled inflaton, non-minimally coupled to the curvature with some non-minimal coupling constant psi. And despite the fact that actually the introduction of such a term in the fundamental Lagrangian is very natural from the viewpoint of renormalization theory. Actually, originally, such a model with non-minimal coupling was suggested in order to resolve the problem of a very exceedingly small value of the quartic self-coupling constant lambda. Because in this particular model with psi, for big values of psi, the corresponding power spectrum, the amplitude of the power spectrum of CMB, is actually suppressed by the inverse power of psi. Therefore, one can trade very unnaturally small value of lambda in favor of a very big value of psi in order to can get the amplitude, CMB amplitude, compatible with observations on the one hand, and not to have the problems at the reheating stage at the exit from inflation. And in a sense, this model was considered in context of cosmological, in context of inflationary implications by a number of papers, by a number of authors, beginning from middle 80s. And in particular, it was considered for the purpose of constructing initial conditions for inflation from the tunneling quantum state of the universe in the framework of quantum cosmology. It's interesting that recently there was a paper by Bezrukhov and Shaposhnikov who actually suggested to consider this model and to identify the inflaton field here with the usual standard model Higgs boson, and claiming that in a sense no new physics is necessary between the electroweak scale and the Planckian scale in order to generate inflationary scenario. And these conclusions were based on the trivial level approximation, and in particular it was claimed that the quantum corrections in this model are small, and their smallness is a result of a very big value of psi. Okay, psi much bigger than 1. So what I would like to suggest in my talk here is that the conclusion of smallness of radiative corrections in this model is erroneous. In a sense, they are not being suppressed by big value of the non-minimal curvature coupling constant, but they are actually enhanced by this constant, by this coupling, and they lead to these quantum corrections are controllable, and they controllably affect the inflationary dynamics. And it is interesting that these radiative corrections can be proved by current and future CMB observations and LHC experiments. There's an upper bound with the current widely accepted now upper bound on the Higgs mass, which is about 180 GeV. This model seems falsified, but if we increase, if LHC would increase the value of the Higgs boson above 216 GeV, then this standard model Higgs can drive inflation, and it's interesting, the corresponding inflationary scenario will be will have a very low tensor to scalar perturbation ratio, and the value of spectral index parameter about 0.93. So let me just try to somehow derive these conclusions. The model which I will consider will look as follows. So here we have the Lagrangian with phi, the inflaton field. Inflaton field is coupled non-minimally to the curvature so that the overall coefficient of the curvature can be considered in the case when the inflaton field is in the regime of the slow roll, so it's slowly varying. Then the overall coefficient can be considered as a, as an effective Planck mass squared. Then there is the usual quartic potential with the symmetry Brayskin scale nu. And also we have in the game the standard model or grand unification type sector, which consists of a generic set of scalar fields, vector gauge bosons, and fermions. And there is also an interaction term in which the most important for us part will be the non-derivative part of the interaction between this scalar field phi and scalar fields, vector gauge bosons, and fermions of the following structure. So lambda chi here and GA and F psi are correspondingly the corresponding coupling constants. So this is Yukawa coupling constant, this is the coupling constants of vector gauge bosons, and this is the coupling constant in the cross term between chi and phi squared, between chi's and phi squared. Now, and also there is an assumption of non-minimal coupling constant psi, which is much bigger than one. So this model, at late stages of inflation, at the exit of inflation, scalar field, inflaton scalar field due to the due to slow roll goes down to the minimum of the potential, which is the present vacuum. And as I said, the effective Planck mass squared in this model is given by this expression. So we will assume that this symmetry breaking scale is small enough so that the effective Planck mass squared actually is approximately given by the usual Planckian mass. But at the same time, it is big enough in order that the corresponding mass of the scalar field, inflaton scalar field at the minimum, should be non-zero and big enough so that the whole model is compatible with the solar system tests and the Cavendish experiment. In other words, the Compton wavelengths of this particle should be big enough not to contradict this well-known restriction coming from post-Newtonian approximation, etc. Now, Let us consider the calculation of quantum effective action in this system. And in a sense, it was calculated in the context of that problem when we considered setting the initial value problem for inflation originating in the framework of the tunneling wave function in cosmological context. So the quantum effective action that I will be talking about in the one loop approximation is given here. So this is the structure of this effective action. And that calculation is facilitated by a number of properties. First of all, there is a Higgs effect which generates the masses of the particles proportional to the value of the inflaton field from this non-derivative part of the interaction that was given at the previous slide. You can infer that the masses are given by these expressions. The fact that these masses for big phi are big allows one to consider 1 over m gradient and curvature expansion so that the curvature to mass squared ratios in this model are given by this expression, which is very small for big values of psi. Therefore, this expansion actually allows one to neglect, to ignore the quantum correction originating from the graviton inflaton sector, because this non-renormalizable part of the effective action, it is actually all these graviton inflaton loops are suppressed by the effective Planck mass squared, which is for big psi phi squared, is very small. And therefore, in the lowest, in the leading order approximation of this 1 over m expansion, the action takes the following form. What is important for us, these are the coefficient functions of the inflaton scalar field. We are assuming that in this quantum state, only scalar field has phi, has a non-vanishing expectation value. And in particular, V is the effective Coleman-Weinberg type effective potential, which has this characteristic logarithmic contribution. Well, there are logarithmic contributions also in U and G, but this will not be very important for us. We will see that in the range of parameters, interesting range of parameters, these corrections are inessential. What is important that this term is given in terms of a combination parameter A, which is actually given by the sum of the force powers, quartic powers of all the masses in the system, or particle masses in the system. And also the same coefficient A gives rise to the overall Coleman-Weinberg potential in the system. You see this characteristic logarithmic structure and with the overall coefficient A. In a sense, this parameter A, this is the overall conformal anomaly in the system, or the beta function. And due to the conformal anomaly or anomalous scaling, we have a non-trivial contribution to the effective action. Okay, and now let us apply this effective action for the analysis of inflation in this model. So we will work in this range of the scalar field. So scalar field, inflaton scalar field is big enough. And there are two smallness parameters in the system. For large psi, natural smallness parameter is this ratio, and also the smallness parameter is A over 32 pi squared. And in a sense, the smallness of this parameter, this is just the smallness of all radiative corrections in the system, which can be treated by perturbations. For in particular, we are considering just the one loop approximation, which is justified by this restriction, by this smallness. Now, if we calculate the rolling force in this system, then there will be two terms, three-level term and the quantum term. And it is interesting that this quantum term is given in terms of the quantum scale of inflation, the one that was introduced in the framework of quantum cosmology of the tunneling state. you see it is inverse proportional to psi. In a sense, this quantity is just the ratio of these two smallness parameters, and a priori, it is neither big nor small. Therefore, it should be treated on equal footing with the three-level part. Okay. In a sense, these smallness parameters, they actually guarantee the slow roll approximation in this model, because one can very easily check by going over into the so-called Einstein frame that in this frame, these parameters are actually proportional to the smallness parameters, well-known smallness parameters of the slow roll inflation. And these relations are given here. So the smallness of this is guaranteed by these two. And then we can, in this approximation range, in the range of this scalar field satisfying these restrictions, we can calculate the duration of inflationary stage, beginning with the concrete value of the inflaton scalar field phi, that is given by this expression. And what is interesting, this is the relation. Here we introduce the new parameter, which is proportional to this parameter A, total anomalous scaling of the theory, times the number of effoldings. And this parameter actually relates the initial value of the inflaton to the quantum cosmological scale phi I squared. So in quantum cosmology, I don't have time to talk about it, the normalizability of the no boundary, tunneling quantum state requires A to be positive. But here we actually relax this restriction and also consider the case when A can be both positive and negative. And it is important that instead of quantum cosmological considerations, we will adopt an alternative approach and deduce the value of X, or this quantity, from the spectral properties of CMB. In particular, we relax the requirements of positivity of A. Okay, now let us see what will be the CMB bounds on this model. Well, it is just a very simple exercise to calculate the amplitude of the CMB power spectrum, which is given by this well-known expression. And at this wavelength, corresponding approximately to 60 effoldings, this should be given from WMAP by this quantity, which immediately leads to the following relation. Okay, thank you. You see, this factor, it is well known, it was obtained in the number of papers on this model, but this is essentially quantum factor, which should be determined from the spectral index, from the spectral index of the WMAP data. Well, by using the well-known expressions for an S and R, we immediately see with these values for an S, we immediately get the following window of possible values of X, A, and R. As you see, the tensor to scalar ratio is very small in this model. Actually, it is between 2 × 100 and 4 × 10⁻⁴. And the parameter A is in this range of possible values. Okay, now let's see, what are the standard model bounds? So assume that this model that we consider is just a standard model where phi is the standard model Higgs. Then it is very easy to calculate in this model the value of this total anomalous scaling, in my definition. And this is given actually by the sum of quartic powers of masses. And we know very well that the dominant contribution will come from the contribution of Z boson, W boson, and top quark mass. And then with these given values, well-known values of these masses, and with the Higgs mass, which is accepted to belong to this domain, we see that A belongs to this window. So you see, it belongs to this window. So it contradicts the window that is suggested by the CMB requirements. So It is interesting that in future LHC experiments on standard model, if we could raise the Higgs mass to 26 GeV, then these two windows, the CMB window and the window coming from the standard model, they can overlap, and actually they start overlapping with this value of the Higgs mass, and then this system really can generate standard, can generate inflation, inflation scenario with this very small value of tensor to scalar perturbation ratio. Well, it is interesting that this mechanism is rather different from the suggestion of Bezrukov and Shaposhnikov, that paper who suggested to identify the standard model Higgs with the inflaton. Because you see, in contrast to their work, it is dominated by the quantum effect. CMB data probe quantum anomalous scaling induced by all heavy massive particles rather than only by the graviton inflaton sector. The deviation of the spectral index from unity, so to say, the Sitter anomaly, is determined by the quantum conformal anomaly by this relation. So standard model Higgs-driven inflation is falsified at present with the present widely accepted bound, upper bound on the Higgs mass. But you know very well that precision tests on electroweak theory give actually a weaker bound, which is about upper bound, which is about 285 GeV at 95 confidence level. And so with this upper bound on the Higgs mass, these two windows overlap and they form such a possible range of parameters. And as you see, NS ranges in this between these two values, and the perturbation tensor to scalar perturbation ratio ranges in this limits. So to conclude, I would say that we are looking forward to LHC Higgs discovery, and it is interesting that the smallness of this parameter R actually gives a big reserve for possible smallness of T to S ratio in future CMB tests without appealing to such exotic models like K inflation. So basically, that's all what I wanted to say. Well, thank you very much. Violates what? Well, Xi, this parameter Xi should be much bigger than one. And the big value of Xi actually improves very much the non-renormalizable sector of the theory, because the effective Planck mass squared, the coefficient in front of the curvature scalar term, becomes very big when the value of the inflaton scalar field is not small. Maybe you would just rephrase your. Okay, I think there is one more question.
Okay, one more question.
Cyanide of CMB in your model and model of Shaposhnikov. So can we derive non-Gaussianity or not?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, I think that non-Gaussianity in this model is very small, as in many other models of slow roll inflation. Non-Gaussianity can be big in rather exotic models inflation, like the one induced by Born-Infeld action. But in this class of models, this non-Gaussianity is small, just like maybe in one of the pioneering papers on non-Gaussianity, about 10 to the minus 10 paper by Maldacena.
Okay, our next speaker is Nyaj Afshar.